the internet, and welcome to season 55, episode 1 of Dinner Daily Zeitgeist for Tuesday, October 30th, 2018. It's actually episode 2. We forgot to change it on my document here, but that's okay. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm Jack O'Brien, I'm Jack O'Brien. Hashtag Ed Vedder. That was courtesy of Sort of Profound on Twitter, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
You can grate me now, but I thought doom. Bowie Zeitgeist now, dun, dun, dun. Jack O'Brien now, dun, dun, dun. You can Zeitgang now. Hate me, then I hate you too. Simple as that. Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, die.
Anyway, that is
That was when Diddy was just, like, going, just having an emotional meltdown in the background of his track.
Well, he was trying to find his identity post Biggie, and he wasn't sure if he was really that gangster dude or just the take that but background, like, guy.
Yeah, well, when he was laying that track down, do you think the producer was just like, yo, are you all right?
I think the engineer, like, basically looked at everybody else in the control room and was like, is he okay? So this is going to make it in? But anyway, yeah, that is a Hate Me Now, a.k.a. from Captain Butt Napkin. So at Captain Butt Napkin, shout
Cat
out to
Butt
you.
Naps.
Yeah.
He's always good for a good a.k.a. Mm-hmm. What album was that off of? Was that off of I Am?
I Am. Yeah, whatever where he got the Mad Pharaoh costume. I think it's I Am.
Got it.
Which was an album, I think he had two albums in that same year.
Yes.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, because he signed a really bad record contract, and I was like, why is Nas just crapping out these terrible albums, like, all of a sudden? And it was because he signed a really bad record contract and was just popping them out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny writer and comedian. You can see him in the upcoming season 2 of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. This is Mr. Noah Garden Schwartz.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I can't commit to a song the way you two did, so I'm just going to say hello.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, man.
Yeah, always happy to be here.
Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better, but first, we're going to take our listeners through what we're talking about today. The goal of our show is to tell you guys what the nation is thinking and talking about, what's on our collective mind, hiding in our collective unconscious. We use the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social media. And today, we have some bad news out of the Kanye camp. He has released some new gear, some new
garbage.
Yeezy
wearable
is
trash
upon us, and it is garbage. So we're going to talk about that. There was a plane crash recently. We're just going to give basically the fact that there was a plane crash because that is something that is trending and that people are talking about. We're going to obviously talk about the Pittsburgh massacre that happened over the weekend, just how the media is covering it, how the right is responding. We're going to talk about Brazil's new president and the PlayStation Classic update.
Mm-hmm.
And also Red Dead. We're going to do a Red Dead Redemption 2 update. Check in with our Red Dead correspondent.
Letters from the front.
Letters from the front. But first, Noah, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
This morning, I searched, and this is not a daily occurrence, but I searched Daily Horoscope Capricorn.
Okay.
For whatever reason, this morning, I wanted to know what the stars had in line for me.
And I was hoping you'd be like, and I'm a Leo.
Just had a feeling.
Yeah.
And supposedly the day is today for me to commit acts of service for friends and family.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is supposed to bring me physical strength. So.
Oh, so some kind of physical labor?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
No. If I just do something good for someone else, it'll make me stronger.
Oh, just in general. Okay.
I mean, that's true. But that should always be everyone's horoscope.
Yeah, that.
Right.
Do good things for others and you will have.
Well, what do I get out of it, stars?
Well, bottom line, all my fellow horoscope Capricorns out there, today's your day to shine.
Yeah.
Do you normally look at a horoscope or not really? You said this is not.
No, I don't do it regularly. I'm not a big astrology guy, but I'm not an astrology hater either.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know what the motivation for looking it up today was either.
Yeah.
But that's the last thing I Googled.
It was in the stars.
Where was that from? Was it just the first thing you found on Google?
Horoscope.com.
Oh. Horoscope.com.
I did a deep dive.
Just very good advice, though. I like it.
Look, if that gets somebody to treat someone else with kindness, then great.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think that's good advice, especially today.
Yeah, mine says to ask everyone for as many favors as possible.
Well, today's the day that I'm willing to grant that.
Fantastic, find a Capricorn and just ride them into the ground.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a piano out of a second story apartment.
I was just going to say, if you were ever moving, today's the day to ask.
Right. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated hiking.
Okay.
Hate hiking with a passion. I realize I'm in the city where everyone loves hiking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will die on this hill, which literally is ironically what I want to do when someone gets me to hike.
Yeah.
It sucks. Walking is awesome. Hiking is the worst.
Okay. Interesting. Walking. What are you considering the difference there?
Like New York walking?
Yeah. The difference.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Hey, I'm walking here.
The difference being the level of difficulty with which you have to do it and the surroundings. Put me on flat concrete and I'm happy. Put me on dusty mountains and I'm miserable.
Right. Got so it. you don't want to exert yourself at all.
Correct. I like being outside. I like feeling a little bit of getting going aerobically. I hate having to go uphill on a dirty path.
Is there other exercise that you like doing? Like if it's in line with sort of exerting yourself?
I love basketball.
Okay. So you need to compete a little bit to get your juices going.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if I'm not going to be competing, I want to do it at a nice,
enjoy yourself.
Just leisurely walk.
Where'd you go? What inspired this? Which trail?
The fact is I've been a lifelong hiking hater.
Just always there, just like, yeah, I guess I'll go.
I'm from Colorado. Right. So, it's just like everywhere I've been, there's always people trying to get me to hike. And I've tried and I hate it. It's just not happening.
God, Colorado must be beautiful. I mean, I've not been there to like hike ever. But from what I know of Colorado's natural beauty must be a hard, like, part of you must be like, yeah, I guess it could be kind of chill to see.
Right, well, I've done Red Rocks, and you know what's fun? Going to Red Rocks and sitting down and looking at Red Rocks.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Moon Rocks.
Driving through Colorado is dope.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that's how you feel about Moon Rocks?
The drugs.
Oh.
Just I've done Moon Rocks.
And sat
I'd
down.
I'd like to sit down.
What are Moon Rocks?
Ecstasy.
It's ecstasy. That's that mixed
pure.
Something,
that's
though,
that
right?
Pure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there's also
that's
like,
when it's like brown.
Yeah.
Right?
Then there's like concentrated like weed that they call moon rocks too. That they dust on other shit.
I feel like moon rocks. The place you get those is like in a parking lot outside of a fish show. Is that
no? I mean, look, the moon rocks are everywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. You just
got
to find Neil Armstrong. You
got
know
it.
What I mean? You say, hey, are you Buzz? You got the moon rocks?
Uh-huh.
Just go to second period at any high school.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. But no, the kids are doing now, I mean. Moon rocks.
Who knows?
Who knows?
They're all just jeweling. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated? Having a relationship with your barber.
Ooh.
Having a reliable place to get a haircut and a person at that place that does it for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're not talking about a romantic relationship?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not talking about a romantic relationship. I'm talking about an even more important relationship, the relationship of being able to get a consistent haircut.
Yeah. And not someone not fucking it up and knowing that they want to give you the best possible haircut.
Yeah, because as a recent transplant out here, I've been on a search for a barber, and I went to one place where it was like, there's three barbers cutting, and I just went for the first available and got a decent haircut. It was fine. Didn't love the guy. Went back to the same barber shop. And again, because I didn't love the first guy, I wasn't like passionate about waiting for him. So I just went to the next available barber. And that guy was glaring at me angrily the entire time because he felt like I was cheating on him in front of him. You know?
Right.
Like I went to the next seat over. So that barber shop became awkward to go back to. So now I'm still on the hunt for a new barber. And I just really miss being back in New York with Tiago.
Oh.
Mm.
Fly him out, man. You know what I mean? You'll get there.
Listen, I aspire to
that's
one
the wave.
Day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tiago only has one job. It's cutting Noah's hair.
How often you get a haircut? Because you always look pretty cleaned up.
Try to go once every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, damn.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. And finally, what's a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Here's a myth I'd like to bust. That Halloween is just a holiday for women to dress up like sluts. Because I went to a Halloween party this weekend, and I can tell you it is men that are fully indulging in the nudity that Halloween allows. It is a bulge party out there now. It is women are covering up or just dressing in normal costumes, and men are looking for any excuse to show their dicks off.
Wow. Yeah. What? So what party was this you were at? What was the theme?
The theme was Moulin Rouge, which I didn't follow.
The theme was rock out with your cock out.
But no, that's the thing. There were so many guys, like, not even wearing a costume. They were just in weird spandex outfits, just looking for any reason to just slut it up as men.
Yeah, sure. Maybe they're exercising their own. You know, I think we live in a country where, you know, if a dude wants to be freaky, wear spandex.
Yeah, listen, I'm not even
that heat.
I'm not even hating on it. I'm not saying they shouldn't dress how they want, but I'm just saying, like, the myth is Halloween is just an excuse for women to dress scantily clad.
Right.
And it feels like men have swung
the
pendulum.
Like, I always see the dude wearing the Borat bikini.
Right. Yeah. Well, I feel like that's started it.
Yeah. And you're like, what is the point of this? Right. Like, is it because...
So you can say my wife with impunity for the whole day.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, like, attach the wild pubic hair with glue around there to make it look wild.
Yeah, I would have to attach wild pubic hair. Totally.
Yes. I would add some to the costume.
Not hairy enough to pull that one off.
That goes back to my last point of a good relationship with your barber.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that is a very intimate relationship. Yes. Be like, yo, could you clean me up?
Take down trust.
So one thing that I've realized this Halloween is the importance of getting a good fit with your costume. Because
yes.
What
do you mean, like how it sits on your body?
Correct. Yeah, okay. Well, because so I think I've talked about it in the office. I don't know if I've talked about it on the episode, but my Batman costume... it's like 2 inches too short from like shoulder to inseam.
Yeah.
And so it just gives me the wild like camel toe moose knuckle. Yeah. And it's like obscene. Like my wife pointed out as I was answering the door for trick or treaters. I'm like, kids love the costume because it's like
kids love the costume.
Well, no,
yeah, that's not where I thought that was going to go.
No,
they seem to be responding really well.
It's legit. Like it has the muscles built in, and it's a legit like Batman costume from like old Adam West days. But it's like it's a good costume, and like the kids are like, oh, it's Batman. But like. I can't wear it anymore because it just like rides up in a way that like even if I'm like pulling down, it just goes
back.
So I went and got another Batman costume. It's very similar.
Oh, so you're committed to being Batman.
Yeah, yeah. It's the one day a year that I get to dress up like Batman. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, I went as Julius Caesar specifically so I could just do the toga.
Yeah.
There you go.
And not have to worry about moose knuckling children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the kids are responding great to it, to your grotesque bulge in the front.
But yeah, I just went from medium to large, and
there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
You're a big boy now.
Yeah, big boy. Speaking of just unfortunate clothing, Kanye has it's Yeezy season, and that these days that means he's dumping some weird political messages on the world. This time he has a shirt that says Blexit.
Yeah, the brainchild of Candace Owens, apparently, just got his ear, who is the woman who kind of began Kanye's, like, really showing his ass when he was like, and I like Candace Owens, who's a very much like, victim mentality, like people of color need to get out of a victim mentality sort of take. Now he's got these shirts, the Blexit. So it's like the black exit as black people leave the Democratic Party is sort of the vibe. And it has like this really crude, like sort of person with their arms out, like a stick figure. And it says shit like we free or Blexit. And it's garbage.
It looks like some shit that you would see in the Dave Matthews Band, like, gear, like, website.
Yeah, or, like, if, like, Kanye had his own version of what, like, Coco Pelli would look like. Coco Pelli is, like, that Southwest dude who, like, playing the flute that you see on, like, all kinds of, like, Southwest garb.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure I'm getting his origin story all fucked up. But, yeah, like, that's sort of how, like, this crude...
I was envisioning Derelict from Zoolander.
right. No, but this is I think this is on his store now, and it's just this.
How much is he selling it for?
A hat is like $25. The t-shirts are like anywhere from $25 to $28 if they're long sleeve or not. And it's, this is just a new piece of swag you could wear. But honestly, like, this is like when you realize there's no, if for anyone who is still sort of like, well, maybe this is a bit, you're like, no.
So is this like, Make America Great Again hat meets FUBU?
Where in it's a like way,
for black people to wear.
Yes, in a or yeah. God, can you
like
imagine?
How weird would it be to see a Trump, like a white Southern wearing, Trump yeah. guy wearing a Blexit shirt?
Right, it's and, a very like early '90s yeah. pastel color palette. So that would
well,
be 90s really
are,
wild.
'90s are coming back,
yeah. right?
It's been 20 years.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's like the color palette's probably fashion forward, but then the design is like it honestly looks like the fire dancer from the Dave Matthews logo.
And yeah, it's just, I mean, because like he goes on and he talks about this free thinking shit, and then he like donated a bunch of money to this mayoral candidate in Chicago, who Amara Enya, I believe is her name, and she's like a very progressive candidate. But then at the same time, you're having like black people leave the Democrat. He's just again, he's not well,
right?
And you have Candace Owens now taking advantage of his like sort of position as a tastemaker to be like, how can we make this like black exit from the Democratic Party thing like a cool thing?
Yeah, I didn't know that he was specifically Republican. Like, I knew he was like, I'm open to all
he is
points
I think,
of view.
Well, I think he's just, again, for him, I think he agrees with this because he likes that idea that just because you're black doesn't mean you have to be a Democrat, to excuse his Trump love, which is his attempt at saying that I don't have to like all of his politics. Like, it's all very convoluted. And again, this is, we're dealing with somebody who's not playing with a full deck, or right. seemingly not. But yeah, they're just trying to make this shit cool. And it's not, I can't imagine anybody like really wearing it. I mean, I can, but not anybody that I would know.
I feel like we're 3 months in the simulation away from him and LeVar Ball teaming up for a clothing line.
Well, they were together. Did you see that photo?
No.
Oh, I thought you were joking. Yo, he was at ESPN or something. There's a photo of him and LeVar Ball together.
Oh, yeah, I was joking, but all right. I guess yo, the simulation is real.
Yeah, you are seeing just the coding as it comes down.
Got it.
West Ball 2020, you guys.
West Ball is also what we called your too snug Batman.
It was just the one that kind of hung out there. So
yeah.
All right, let's talk.
And the kids were responding really well.
That's not what they were responding to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They were looking at the Batman face.
Oh, gotcha.
Not the... Anyways.
Not the other Batman face.
Yeah. I was also wearing a towel around my waist. They're like, yo, why is Batman in a towel?
Don't worry, Batman.
Batman just got out of the shower.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions. All right. There's
you shower in your suit, Batman? What the fuck did I say about the question?
There was a plane crash in Indonesia. 189 people yeah. were on board. Doesn't look good. Crashed into the ocean and went down 13 minutes after taking off from Jakarta. There's not much. It was a airline called Lion Air.
Yeah.
This is going to be presumably the deadliest plane crash of 2018. And yeah, I mean, on the one hand, shit like this makes me just even more terrified to fly. And then on the other hand, it also is a reminder that there hasn't been one of these in America in a long, long time. So
prior to this, what was the biggest plane crash that happened?
What do you mean?
So you said it could be the biggest one of 2018.
This is the biggest one of 2018.
So presumably,
sure
like,
does that
it just barely
happen?
Took over another one? Like, I'm having trouble.
Do they have any idea what the cause was?
No.
Because I read something on the internet last year that basically said over the next 20 years, because of global warming and climate change, flights are about to get so much more turbulent because of the winds in the atmosphere, and that plane crashes are about to become way more prevalent.
Mm.
Wow.
So maybe that will help assuage your fear of flying.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing that helped assuage my fear was the idea that even if both engines die, like the way planes are built, like they can just basically hang glide to the ground from up in the air. So
sure, didn't you used to, were you ever a Boy Scout building hang gliders?
Yeah, I just didn't know that you could build enormous hang gliders right. out of metal.
Oh, the huge air crash was one from Cuba.
Right.
That was in May, where 112 people died.
Yeah. So, I mean, it still happens.
So these things happen way more than we
it's
think.
It's odd, though, too. You know, like, again, it just speaks to how many tragedies occur. So, like, back to back, where I'm like, which one was that I'm losing track?
It's tragedy overload.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the effects of 24-hour news and is that, you know,
knowing
we hear
everything
about
that
every
happens
bad
everywhere.
Thing that happens yeah. everywhere. So even though flights are getting safer and at least in America, crime and violence is going down, it seems like it's going up because we're seeing reports on it just constantly.
Wait, so is there hope that there's any survivors, or is just a foregone conclusion that that entire...
I think they're sort of presuming everyone to be dead yeah, at the moment.
I think so. They are interviewing a guy who just barely missed the flight, was supposed to be on the flight. So he's got to feel pretty lucky, or alternately, hopefully he hasn't
survivor's
seen
remorse.
Final yeah. Destination. Yeah, or survivor's remorse. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And so the news from over the weekend that I think people are still, you know, is at the front of everyone's mind is the mass shooting at the Pittsburgh synagogue. This is something, you know, it continues with a longstanding trend that we've talked about a lot on the show, where people, you know, like we were just saying before the break, we tend to overreact to all types of violence in America, especially, you know, if the violence is done by a brown person. But for some reason, we underreact to terrorism motivated by right-wing ideology, or at least we find a way to talk past that with regards to the content of the ideology that's motivating it. And I think on the right wing, they're saying this is about hate, like the act of hatred, but refusing to connect it to politics. So from that perspective, it has like more to do with road rage than Trump and his ideology, because that is also hatred. It's just like they're basically trying to pull out the idea of anger and make that the thing that people should think about, as opposed to the fact that, unfortunately for the logical coherence of that point of view, this dude specifically wrote on Nazi Twitter, Gab, that he was doing this in direct relation to the caravan story that Fox News was artificially, like, overhyping for the past week.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that Soros was funding meetings. It.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and, like, I think he even talked about how, like, some people are trying to say, well, he hated Trump or whatever. And, like, so this is different than the MAGA bomber who loved Trump
right.
or whatever. And even in his own writings, he was saying that Jews were getting would get in the way of Trump's agenda or whatever.
Right.
So as much as they try and divorce this person from being aligned with, like, the MAGA mentality, there's so much overlap that it's just so disheartening to then just watch so many people on the right try and be like, well, how do we shift this to try and not acknowledge, like, what is at the heart of the political strategy or the rhetoric that they're using to stay in power or to gain support?
Right. I mean, he's clearly plugged into the same wave of energy that's being generated by Trump and his media apparatus, because he believed the lie that America was in danger because of immigration. I guess he was specifically trying to target HIAS, the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society, for their role in allowing and fostering immigration of refugees, but that he referred to that as, like, them allowing the slaughter of our people, which suggests that immigrants are more likely to commit crimes than us, or than people who are already natives, which isn't true.
Which would be rhetoric directly tied to
right.
Trump.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Kellyanne Conway was really, the White House was in full swing, like, trying to distance themselves as much as possible, because, again, it's very clear, as we even said when we were talking about the MAGA bomber, if you want to say he's directly culpable or indirectly, the man is culpable. You know what I mean? And I think they're right now, their whole strategy is to now try and, like you say, Jack, make this about something else, not make it about the environment in which you have a president who's saying that, like, after Charlottesville, when you have people going around saying Jews will not replace us, being like, well, they're good people on both sides.
Right, exactly.
But he's not, but he stands up. But he's anti-Semitism. He loves the Jewish community and blah, blah, blah. But he uses the same coded language as many of these anti-Semitic neo-Nazi people do. And there's tremendous overlap. And the fact that they can't even admit that part is really disheartening. So this is Kellyanne Conway somehow, when brought up when she was on Fox this morning, or on Monday morning, asking about, well, you know, a lot of people say Trump's rhetoric is something to blame, and this is just a very odd spin that she tries to put on it.
Well, you know what they were saying yesterday, Kellyanne? They were saying that the president's rhetoric was responsible for the rise of political violence, just raising the temperature in America.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. And I went back and looked at many, the big compilation of comments that are made on other cable networks routinely. The chyrons, the comments. I won't even repeat the insults because it gives them oxygen. It gives them much higher ratings that they would also get otherwise get in their own shows.
So she literally didn't address a single thing about what he was asking about.
Just whataboutism. Well, they say stuff about the president. That's different than when you're using language that encourages violence against certain groups. People being outraged about his terrible policies is not the same. No one's out here being like, the Trump family are rats, and therefore, you know, let's strip them of their humanity because they're evil parasites who blah, blah, blah. Like the way that everyone, whether it's people in the caravan or people who are involved in police violence or whatever, they do whatever they can to dehumanize whatever specific group it is. So I guess that was her attempt to say that, well, the media calls the president out and creates an atmosphere of anger. When you're not for one second looking at what this man says and how that's contributing to it. So then she goes on to maybe give an easier defense to try and understand what was at play here.
Right.
The anti-religiosity in this country, that it's somehow in vogue and funny to make fun of anybody of faith, to constantly be making fun of people who express religion, the late night comedians, the unfunny people on TV shows.
So she's saying that because there are jokes about religion in the mainstream media,
right,
that contributed to
the jokes were so fire that it inspired somebody to perpetrate a full-on hate crime against another group. It's
because if there's one thing the Jewish community can't abide, it's jokes.
Yeah, right. No, 100%. I don't know. Again, and it's just part of this thing where we as a country, right, like racism is like lies at the core of this country, but it's like the one thing that a lot of American people don't want to acknowledge. It's very easy to paper over the cracks and say, you know, when Obama was president, it was easy to avoid real meaningful discussions around racism and hate because we looked at the situation.
We had the poster child.
Yeah,
for
we're like, oh,
progress.
It's fine. But this has been the case since the beginning. You know what I mean? And the idea of white people losing their status in this country has motivated so many crimes like this. No matter who the group is, it could be black people, it could be Jewish people, it could be trans people, just whatever. That perceived loss of status motivates these kinds of things. And again, when you look at even the news coverage, right, like the media even has a problem describing racism as racism because for whatever reason, you have a segment of people in the country who don't like the idea of hearing that and they don't like, oh, God, why are you calling everything racist or whatever? Because we have this problem in this country. That's why. And every time we get into things where people say, oh, well, we shouldn't talk about the blah, 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 the fire still burns. And we're not able to put it out because we're not actually being specific in our language so that we can identify what these issues are. And I think that especially when you have people like on NBC or other places too, when they describe things like whether it's Roseanne or other things saying people use like racially charged language or the president has a racial bias or whatever, they have to begin describing these things for what they are too, because when we obscure it, it allows these people to get away with it. And we will continue down this path of nothing being solved because we're not holding anything to account.
Well, you can see that taking place in the kind of dual reality that people are always living in. Like, I'm seeing a very even split in reactions to what happened with Pittsburgh amongst the Jewish community, of half of them being like, I'm not surprised at all. The writing was on the wall. It was only a matter of time before our community was targeted. And then another half that's like, I can't believe this could happen to Jews in America in 2018.
Right.
You know, and so it's like we all kind of live in a state of disbelief mixed with, oh, of course this happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's sort of the duality is like, we know racism exists, but it's sometimes we don't want to get too in the weeds to like be like, wait, hold on. Let's really ferret out people who are talking like this, who are contributing to this atmosphere. And that's where the conversation is starting to move, where it's like, well, yeah, what's going on here? Like right. when you have Trump up there being like, oh, you know, globalists, wink, wink, and then acting like, well, that's right. not what that means. And I saw people even on NBC today having someone on be like, oh, well, that's a reach to say that that's coded language to talk about like Jews, or that that has some kind of anti-Semitic bend to it. When you're like, come, really? Why are you even on the news right now? Because that's the problem, when you can't even understand that. At the very least, you can say that could be a reach in your view, but you can also acknowledge that that is the language that's that the language these people use. So you can on one hand say
global banking system.
Right, exactly. And they say, well, they use globalists to talk about NATO or whatever. It's like, but of course, but when you the underpinnings of that are always about this just greater idea of, you know, of Jewish people controlling the markets or whatever. And it's just one of those things where I wasn't surprised. I was shocked, obviously, and just so saddened to see things play out this way. But again, this is a thing that the country hasn't fully come to terms with, and we're taking steps that are too small to yeah. really to confront this.
Yeah.
But what would an appropriate step even be? I mean, I think that's course, what yeah. I think that's why so little progress being made is no one even knows where to begin. And of course, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Yeah.
But what is that first step that actually chips away at it?
I feel like aggressively treating right-wing terrorist and right-wing like hate ideology the way that America treated Islamic sure. radicalism.
That's actually
in the aftermath
an excellent
of
first step.
September yeah. 11th is an important step. But like, yeah, I'm not going to be surprised until the rhetoric around these killings changes to this is a radical terrorist. These are the people he was talking to. Let's bring them in. Let's, you know, these are terrorist organizations. These yeah. are terrorist networks.
Because right now we treat these neo-Nazis like, oh, those are just them fools that hang around by the park. They're not right. They're not about anything.
No, they're about, they want people dead.
Yes.
And, I mean, there was a dude, you know, a very clearly mentally ill person at the end of last week who shot two black people in a Kroger. And before he went to the Kroger, he tried to enter a black church
right.
and just basically recreate what happened in South Carolina and mm-hmm. start shooting black people while they worshiped.
And what was their security that turned him
they
away?
They had security. Yeah, they had security there that turned him away.
Well, I thought it was a door. I thought the doors were just locked, or what? There was actual security.
They said that they. I think
I'm
the
sorry,
church,
I didn't mean to laugh because I thought you were talking about how no. Trump was like, well, maybe they no. should have had a security guard.
No, I think it might have been locked doors
right.
or
anyway,
somebody at the door
right,
who
right.
like pushed him back. But yeah, he couldn't get in there, and they were like, "We're glad we had some security in place."
What I feel like is happening the same way. Over the last few years, the left has kind of become aware of this idea of gerrymandering and like how the Republicans for decades were kind of plotting something for the future completely under everybody's nose. I feel like this past year, we've seen a lot of violence that's been sown secretly in this war that people have been planning to fight in the shadows for like two decades that are suddenly coming to the surface. Like, I feel like the alt-right and the neo-Nazis have been preparing for this very, very ugly war for the future of America that no one really paid any heed to becoming a reality. Like, we were all in denial of the fact that there really were crazy people out there prepared to kill and die for these ideas that we thought we were all past.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now we're seeing, unfortunately, every single week that it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's,
and
I mean,
unfortunately, we're a little behind on our defenses.
Yeah.
And these people weren't, these like right-wing hate people weren't coming out as much and like conducting all these like mass killings as much. Obviously, they were responsible for the Oklahoma City bombing, but it really, I do feel like this is a testament to just having somebody at the head of the country who has rhetoric that like tacitly supports your ideology yeah. is going to create more incidents like right. this. And like, this was the weekend where I feel like just the idea of, you know, I've heard people on the left be like, yeah, well, even if we replace Trump, Pence is gonna be just as bad. Like, I we just that doesn't make
sense
anymore.
You might not stoke the flames.
I just feel like, somebody who is actively stoking the flames.
And he doesn't understand what it means to be the president, because for him, he's like, I only fuck with the 40-some percent of the country that voted for me.
Right.
That's who I represent. That's who I fuck with. I don't give a fuck about anyone else. Watch me talk this shit about all these other people and get everybody really excitable and angry about this kind of thing. And you know what you mean? It's like, yeah, it's true. When he's at the top and this is the president and he's saying things like, yeah, I'm a nationalist. What's wrong with that? Oh, yeah. You know, George Soros, wink, wink, I can just point to George Soros being behind whatever thing that is causing me problems today. It's like when a substitute teacher comes and, you know, like when the normal teacher's there, you're not going to act up because the normal teacher has your number and can get you in trouble because you don't act up. But the sub is there. Yes, there's someone there in place of the teacher, but you know you can get away with a lot more because this person isn't quite dictating what the norms are or whatever. And that's sort of like what's going on now, that these people are sort of emboldened by the idea that maybe he might not be directly rah-rahing them, even though he is somewhat, not to the point where it's that explicit, but that sort of atmosphere is just allowing just the things to become completely out of control. And for people to operate in an environment, we're like, well, he's not going to say anything. And he's not going to try and say anything to be like, everyone, hold on. We're fucking up as a country. Because he's not going to say that. He's just resorting to the same shit of like, well, you know, the media is really, the fake news has to stop.
So something that I've like struggled with internally is every time there's been a horrible tragedy and an act of domestic terrorism or racism towards other communities, I always would be very upset at Trump for not responding with some kind of tweet in support or like acknowledging the suffering of other communities. And then as a Jew, when I saw what happened in Pittsburgh and Trump had like 5 or 6 tweets in a row in support of the Jewish community and rebuking anti-Semitism, and oddly enough, I was angry that he tweeted in support. Like, even though in theory that's what I wanted to read from him saying, I was like, shut the fuck up. And you know, like,
yeah.
Where were these tweets for all the other communities? And so it almost made it feel like a sense of fake support and political reaching out. Like he doesn't want to lose the pro-Israel crowd
right.
on the conservative right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it is a damned if you do, damned if you don't from our leadership, where when he's silent, I wish he would say something. When he finally says something, I realize I wish he never said anything at all.
I guess what we're longing for is something sincere from him. Because like you said, like, you know, Ivanka and Jared had to beg him to write that, like, in the
and
New
fuck
York
them
Times.
Too. Let me tell you something. I will speak on behalf of the entire Jewish. We do not want Ivanka or Jared.
Well, yeah. In the New York Times, they're saying they used very interesting language. They said it took the importuning of his Jewish daughter and son-in-law to craft a powerful statement, which sounds like he was probably very indifferent, wasn't doing anything, and they were like, "Hello, what are you doing?" And again, I think that's where it rings hollow because. Right after that, he's back into attack mode and he's talking some other shit that just renders the thing he just said completely useless and negates it.
I like that they said begging in a word that Trump couldn't understand so that he would then not get so mad at them and continue to give them interviews.
He's like, no, I'm not into import tuning. I don't have a Nissan.
The CNN argument, or the argument that the fake media, like that he has blamed both of these things on the media is... So, like, I can't really understand the logical thread there, but it seems like it has the effect of the mainstream media criticized Trump, which in his opinion made Nazis mad and his supporter mad, the MAGA bomber. And so the mainstream media needs to stop being mean to him or else his followers will kill us. And
I know at a certain point we should just... like be accustomed to the routine, but I truly am always continually shocked at his refusal to accept any accountability for any wrongdoing at any time for anything he's done in his life. I mean, I have never seen an adult with such a lack of regard for accountability.
And this is what we get when you have that kind of personality leading from the top.
One thing I'd like to see the media cover about this is just how fucking pathetic this shooter is, claiming he's going in like some badass military commando and then proceeding to shoot a series of like
old
unarmed
people.
Elderly and disabled people. And like, yeah, he's being celebrated on Gab, that social media platform that Fox News was celebrating earlier this year for allowing like
free speech
right. on the right. He's being celebrated on Gab as a hero. Like their top trending things are like whatever the fuck his name is, hashtag hero and free whatever the fuck his name is. Like, so that can't be understated, like what a piece of shit this guy is and like how comically self-defeating his attempt to like do something cool in the name of his ideology is. It was just like so pathetic.
And it's fucked up to put worshipers in a position where a lot of people who are anti-gun now probably will not feel comfortable going back to their place of worship without an armed guard
right
there.
No, it's just bad all around. All right.
It's just funny to me though too, like when you think about this, like this shooting too, like we're normally with every shooting we've talked, the mental health thing comes up and the gun control things come up. But like, it's weird. This feels like also, I don't know if this is a breaking point for us in general, but like that we're having to really look beyond just those sort of superficial reasons.
Well, because mental, like when someone shoots up a school, I mean, any kind of killing is obviously like some kind of mental derangement. But like if someone shoots up a school, it's hard to imagine someone has an actual hatred towards children. That's just a crazy person right. who had access to a gun they shouldn't have been able to access. This guy, of course, is crazy, but like it might not be a mental illness that led him to do this shooting.
Right.
This is just pure hatred, and you know his intention was through anti-Semitism.
Right.
It had nothing to do with mental illness so much as him wanting to stop the globalists from taking over.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a social version of mental illness.
And it follows that same thing. Like this guy was on Gab, the MAGA bomber dude was clearly really into some of the memes that were popular on the Donald Trump subreddit. And yeah, like there's so many avenues for radicalization now that it's just, I don't know, it's very frightening.
I was reading an article last night about Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy and his assassination in particular. And, you know, with this story in the back of my mind and the idea that the right, like we as a nation refuse to think of the right as a coherent, like hate ideology
right.
and a coherent, like thinking about them as like a terror organization that is like pro guns and pro basically killing and, you know, anti anyone who's not a white male or who is like helping people who aren't white males. It's just, I don't know. Like if you think about it in that way, the gun debate is like they've used guns to murder our leaders and like continue to use guns to like murder people on the left. Like they killed Martin Luther King Jr. They killed JFK. They killed RFK. They continue to kill people with guns and then like mock the left for wanting to control guns. It's pretty fucking crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, and to see some politicians on the right like circle the wagons around this shooting too, that's when you start really being like, oh, like might as well start looking at them as being like, oh, are you guys are actually starting to really have your foundations as a hate group.
Yes.
In that sense. We're like, no, this isn't that. And just denying it, they're like, well, we don't explicitly stand for it, but we know who we rock with.
Right.
And I think in that sense, that's why like I'm looking at that's why I'm talking about the use of the term racism or like white supremacy or whatever, that those terms need to be actually applied in a way. Because as we look at the behaviors and the rhetoric that's being used, it's undeniable. And I think a lot of the times people just, because there are like ways to slip out of that argument, it's like, well, you're just saying that because I said these things. And I'm like, no, we're saying this because you're using the same language and the results that are rendering, even when you see that, you try and deny that like there's any connection between the two.
Yeah. Well, there's about to be like, I mean, America is going to be confronting a very ugly truth. Like, there's so much pressure for this blue wave to take place on November 6th. Get out and vote, get out and vote, get out and vote. If all of America gets out and votes, I don't think we're going to like the results of what we see. Like, I think America is going to have to confront the fact that at least half of our country truly is racist and truly does believe this way. Like, I don't think it's a matter of too many good voices not getting out and voting or too many good voices being suppressed. I think there's an overwhelming majority of America that has really fucked up thoughts about mm-hmm. people that are not straight white males.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there's an overwhelming majority of straight white males that have really fucked up views. But I think, you know, demographically, straight white males are becoming a smaller and smaller part of the population. Yeah. So, I mean, that is really what this election and the future of American electoral politics is about, is like trying to let everybody vote and trying to continue to allow the country that was built on immigration to have, you know, healthy immigration, as opposed to, you know, blocking everybody from coming in to preserve the power of straight white men, which, all right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and Jair Bolsonaro.
Jair,
as some people call him. Pronounce it correctly.
Jared,
as I call him, mm-hmm. Bolsonaro. Some people are calling him the Tropical Trump because he won the presidency by, you know, people appear to like him because he's entertaining and, like, honest in the way that, you know, Trump is honest, and in the way, like, the Blue Collar Comedy Tour is honest because they say what we're all thinking. If we are old, kind of racist, middle class, you know, people, or just racist people of all stripes. And yeah, I don't know. It feels a little like watching people make the same mistake that you made, just kind of having to hold your tongue and be like, well,
Brexit, all the Brexit people begged the U.S. don't vote for Trump. Whoops. Right. And then now, like, people are like, Brazil, don't vote for Bolsonaro. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a disturbing trend to see take over time. And, you know, like you're saying, he had sort of the same playbook in the sense of, like, Trump, where he was like, you know, I'm not like these other politicians. I'm an outsider, even though, like, he had served in the Congress there. And then having, like, super hot takes on, like, rape or racism or LGBTQ.
Loving the guy who tells it like it is.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
The 40-year-old open micer who's here to shed some truth bombs.
Right.
But that's part of where the Trump brand of just consistently messaging how much you're winning. Like, if you're in another country that's not necessarily seeing the day-to-day that goes on in America, and really the only news flash of America that you get is seeing Trump talking about how great our economy is doing, then you might be brainwashed into thinking that your country needs a leader like that who can get your economy in mm-hmm. gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Brazil, you know, had a really terrible recession recently. And so, like, there are a lot of other factors contributing to people kind of looking at him and being like, well, there was a massive corruption scandal and he's promising to tighten up the belt like nobody's ever seen.
Right.
And yeah, there's definitely sort of factors that have to be at the table before people like
there's a lot of anger and resentment over all the stuff you just mentioned. And he came in and is just like, I'm going to beat the shit out of some people. And he's also saying that he's going to go back to when there was a military dictatorship, or at least he's spoken positively about that. And Miles, you were saying that there are already examples where, you know.
Yeah, they were like, I feel like it might have been right around the election where, like, the state police were going into, like, universities already and just trying to find people who were talking that shit.
Right.
And whether it was, like, taking down anti-fascist posters or whatever, but you can start seeing the
censorship. Are you talking about going after professors or students who were, like, organizations?
It was, like,
campus.
A very loose headline just about they were going to campus, and I think more so taking materials down, and they may have been breaking up, like, classes, not like that they were arresting anyone and being like, hey, this is like politically subversive speech or whatever. But, you know, this is the rise of global fascism.
Yeah, fascism. The fash wave, baby.
Well, you know, that's why I got to fight it.
Right.
And a lot of the reasons why people are more open to fascism is because we are failing to take care of each other. And that's where the ideas around, especially in this country, around socializing medicine and things like that can help alleviate some of these pressures that are on people that look to someone like Trump and be like, oh, maybe that's the answer to the fact that I don't have a living wage.
Well, socialism was in the name of the Nazis, National Socialist Party, so therefore you're advocating for Nazi propaganda.
Oh,
Miles.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if
therefore, yes, I'm the racist.
Yes.
You talk about white men a lot. That's racist.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, them electing him is like us looking at our past. But I do feel like because they have a more recent history of, you know, military dictatorships and not the strong institutional tradition that America has, I feel like this is going to ramp up pretty quickly, and we'll not in not too distant future be looking at our future or our possible future.
The strong institutions.
Yeah.
Like Amazon here?
Like
what
Amazon.
Were you talking about last week?
Amazon and the fake news media.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something happier.
Let's talk about the purest form of escaping, right? The video game, because that's one thing that I can load up a bowl and go to a magical place where I'm a cowboy and everything is good. Now, first, I want to talk about the PlayStation Classic that is coming out, because that's they're bringing back the OG PlayStation with a bunch of games preloaded on it. And my God, I remember when the first PlayStation came out, I was beyond myself playing the X Games game. Like, woo! It just gave me a thrill inside as a child. So, yeah, they're re-releasing this PlayStation Classic. And before we reported on it, we didn't know what games were on it. They talked about stuff that they thought was going to be on it. Well, now we know the games that are going to be on there. And
did it live up to the hype?
I mean, there are some that I kind of find interesting. Destruction Derby, that was one of the first PlayStation games I bought that was just crash the shit out of your car against other people.
What more do you want to do?
Very simple. Metal Gear Solid, I'm not mad at that. The Resident Evil Director's Cut, I'm not mad at that. Ridge Racer Type 4, Tekken 3, the first Rainbow Six game, Twisted Metal. If you remember that launch title where you were around in a fucking weird ice cream truck and like versus another, like there's like a bunch of Frankenstein cars. It was sort of like Destruction Derby, but with like weapons on the car.
Do they have some Madden or FIFA action going on?
No, I feel like sports games, they definitely shied away from, and totally. I mean, if they had Madden or FIFA 98 on there, I'm going in. And then also, one of my favorite games, Siphon Filter, is also on there. So I'm definitely looking forward to this.
The original Grand Theft Auto, is that a good game?
Dude, the original Grand Theft Auto was an over-the-top thing. It wasn't like open world. Grand Theft Auto 3 is the beginning of the end when it was like open world shit where you could just do the wild crimes in the street. This was like the overhead game. That looked like Frogger, but like for carjacking.
Got
it. Where you have to go meet a crime boss.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so we'll see. And then also, I got to say, Final Fantasy VII. That's one of my favorite RPGs of all time. Now, moving on. There is a game that people, this has been trending everywhere on the internet, because for gamers, the Red Dead Redemption 2 release was a very big thing. That happened at the end of last week. It took my life away as much as I could allow it to. And also the life of someone else that works on the show, one of our editors, Dan. Now, let me bring him in really quick.
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. It's your boy, DJ Daniel.
Oh, wow.
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 Coming in hot.
I apologize, my bad.
Damn, am I on your show? Dan, you're the only other person in the office that understands what the fuck is going on. And I told Jack, I was like, if we're going to talk about Red Dead, I probably need somebody in here who knows what I'm talking about, so I don't just seem like a person who's ranting and raving upon the mic.
I heard you guys talking to each other this morning. You were like, so what you been up to? And I was like, why is Miles asking Dan that? Miles usually doesn't let Dan talk to him. And then Dan was like, oh, you know, I've been, I found a fence for some jewelry. Mm-hmm. I've been getting my gun engraved. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, Dan's living that life. Changed. I had no idea.
Indeed, I have a slightly different life than you're used to, Jack. I apologize for that.
Now, Red Dead.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how beautiful this game is, first of all.
Yeah.
It is a game where you're basically in one of the largest maps I've ever seen in like a sandbox type game.
Yes, sir.
But the details are so good. Sometimes I'll just ride a horse and I just stop and I just kind of look around and I'm not doing shit in the game.
I think they know that. They know that in the game. There's a button you can press that just changes it to cinematic camera. It's like as if what you were looking at isn't beautiful enough already. Just hold down this button for a second, and we're going to make it an even more beautiful cinematic experience.
Next.
Yes.
What is another thing that you love about the game? The music. That was the answer, Dan. We should have prepped before we got.
I wish the listeners incredible. Could see how your hand is on your hip in a sassy way.
I'm like this, yeah.
Ready
I'm,
to go.
I look. I'm doing a little sassy teapot move right now. Yeah, the music, dude. The music is so good. It has people like Daniel Lanois contributing to it. I feel like in the one before, Jose Gonzalez had a track on there.
They've always strove for beautiful music in these games.
The game plays out like, yeah, and look, Dan, I mean, Jack and Noah are looking at each other like, look at these motherfuckers. I don't know what they're talking about. Uh-huh.
If I may, I think this game in particular scratches on something that a lot of games have been going for, which is creating this landscape that you can truly, truly lose yourself in. Mm. In the sense
like
that,
Eminem.
Like, it very much Eminem lose yourself. And I think, you know, like Miles was saying, you just ride your horse into an area and all of a sudden you're like, damn, look at that grass.
She's just jumping off.
What the hell was I even doing?
Well, the game also
High do you have to be to play this
as
game?
As you two talk about this, right. I am watching Anna's ovaries commit harikari in real time.
They've shot out her body and left. So before, okay, you do reproductive harakiri. Yeah. I gotta say, the game also plays like a movie where like you'll do a heist or something, and then shit just goes wrong, and suddenly like you have to start playing, and you're like, well, the plan is completely different now, like in a movie. And also, I gotta say, with the music thing, there's a hidden D'Angelo track in the game
somewhere. They haven't heard it yet.
Are these all old timey piano songs that they've written for the
No. This is like an acoustic jam that like you can hear D'Angelo's voice on. It's like an unreleased track.
Yep. But they're all sung by prospectors playing
an accordion
around the
And just a wash bucket.
Now, you joke, but there is plenty of that as well. If you go to any of the towns, go into a saloon, all of a sudden half the people are just drunk singing, and you can join in if you like.
Yeah. Okay.
You hold down square, and all of a sudden you're singing a happy tune.
One thing I will say as far as the game,
like Westworld,
they could explain to your boy how to play a little bit more.
It's not holding your hand.
They dump you in like there are almost too many options to the point where if you're high, you might just be trying to beat the shit out of a fucking rabbit with a knife or something,
yes,
trying to skin a bunch of rabbits with just aimlessly. Mm. I would like a little nudging from the developers to tell me where to go, if at all.
Do you have any doubt that at some point in the near future you will figure it out?
I know I will.
Right.
But you're used to like, you know, you play GTA, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like you after you do a mission, it'll be like, yo, go meet so-and-so right here real quick to do this thing. And you could if you wanted to, but you didn't always have to listen to it. But at least the game prompted you to sort of be like, this is sort of what we're trying to get you to do narratively. Mm. Whereas this one, like you'll end a mission and then you're just in the middle of like the prairie.
This is 2018 parenting, baby. We let him make his own decisions.
Exactly. And now look at me. I don't know what to do.
It's also a prequel, so there's a little bit of in the game of kind of waiting for certain stuff to happen that it's not letting you know is about to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you're seeing all these characters that are bad guys in the first game, and you're like, wait a minute, when is he going to turn? When's it going to happen?
I just want to say, if you're a gamer who hasn't gamed in a while and you enjoyed, like, any sandbox
game.
These
are real gamer hours.
This will bring you back, because welcome to 2018, and you're going to be like, yo, the game has literally changed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to have to play this game?
You have to have a...
Atari?
No, you have to have a PlayStation 4, a PS4 Pro, a TV that does 4K, a pack of backwoods.
There you go.
And at least
How expensive is it? Is this like the skiing of video games where it's incredibly expensive just to enter into
$60 game.
$60 game.
Standard price.
Standard disc, baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Something
I can
that
sell
hasn't
you. I'll upsell you later. No, I'm gonna get you on this. But yeah,
you two are both sweating right now.
Yeah,
it's hot in the studio. I'm nervous.
Well, you got sweatpants on and long sleeve. You're dressed like it's winter.
Well, it's really cold upstairs in my little corner that no one talks to me.
Now we're letting people know.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out, man. You freaked us out enough. But yeah, so that's what's going on. If you see people who have probably bailed on plans you had this last week and they play video games, that's probably the reason.
Let me ask you this. What kind of toll do you think this is going to take on your relationship?
See, this is the thing, and I tell people this all the time. If you game and that's part of your shit, be honest with your partner off the rip.
So she knows.
She knows. And I don't get lost in games that often where I'm like, yo, I need like 48 hours to vanish off Earth. And... you know, Her Majesty, she understands that.
So is that what you need? 48 hours?
Need like to get over the first hump. And then I can just play here and there and I can just sort of maintain it. But like I do need to sort of regress and go like to a time when I had all the time in the world and just sort of just grind out on the game.
And will you straight up not sleep for 2 days, just 48
hours? Nah, that's the thing I realize as I get older. I'm like, I used to be able to just like play a game like into 4 o'clock at night or whatever. And I don't know if I'm just eating too heavy or something before, but like... around like 12:30, I'm just like
you're carb loading before Red Dead Redemption.
Just eating a baguette and then I'm just falling asleep. But yeah, you know, it's hard being older, man.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. It's like those people who are like, I don't know, man. I'm getting like my head hurts more, and I'm getting like the Russians must be attacking me with sonic waves. And it's like, nah, dude, you're just getting older. That's just what happens.
Well, it's very different worlds we live in, because the last time the game came out, the first one, Red Dead Redemption, that was in 2010. So 8 years is a long time for my like physiology to change in my gaming habits. Because when the last one came out, that's when I was like gross, and I didn't have friends. I neglected all my relationships. My mom was like, "There's a smell coming from your room," because that's how well I was doing. I was living with my mom, then, like just playing this game OD.
That was very telling.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But now it's like, you know, a little bit older, a little bit slower.
Grown man Miles on the ones and twos.
Grown man Miles looking really pathetic when I'm like nodding off with a controller in my hand.
And for people who don't play video games, who think we're spending too much time talking about this, if we were honestly reflecting the zeitgeist of our listeners, we would have talked about nothing but Red Dead Redemption today, because
it's all over the place.
It's all anyone's talking about.
And also, other great thing, underrated thing about this game, the physics of riding a horse are very realistic. I've been involved in many fatal horse accidents where I'm riding a horse and I hit a tree or just some other obstacle. And you can injure yourself severely falling off a horse. Before, you didn't respect the horse.
Have you been on a horse in real life?
Yes. Frightening as shit.
Painful too, man. I did a 3-hour, it ended up being 3 hours out, 3 hours back on a horse.
Oh, yeah. That's...
For the first time I ever rode on a horse. When I got back,
that's just some masochistic shit.
Yeah, it was like.
When I got back, my Batman costume didn't fit.
all right. That's a good one to end on. Noah, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Thank you.
Where can people find you and follow you?
At Noah G Comedy on Twitter and Instagram.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
No. No.
It's all right. I got a bunch. Oh.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, I'm all ears for your enjoyable tweets.
Okay. Miles.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you?
You can find me in West Elizabeth, riding the plains upon my horse.
Okay.
My steed. But in social media, at Miles of Gray. I got to figure out how to do Twitch, because I feel like I would entertain y'all, just me riding around, just being a good or bad cowboy. Tweet I like, though, comes from Yusuf Roach, past guest, at Yusuf Roach. It said, every girl on Tinder wants quote-unquote adventure, but the second you find drugs on the ground, it's all, put that down.
That's good. You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. By the way, are there, O'Brien, are there any songs, like, from Bon Jovi? About like that are about the similarities between being a rock star and being a cowboy in Red Dead Redemption?
Because were just like, I mean, Wanted Dead or Alive?
Yeah, like Wanted Dead or Alive, or there was that other one from Young Guns 2.
Oh yeah, Young Guns 2. Yeah. Wasn't he in Young Guns?
Yeah,
that's
he
why
just
he got
shot. He just got smoked.
And
real
I remember
quick.
I was like, oh, Lou Diamond Phillips looks like me.
That's funny. Some tweets I've been enjoying, guys. I took some comfort in Twitter over the weekend, because even though the world is terrible, Twitter's good at helping me deal with that.
Really? You're one of the few people who says that.
Yeah. I think it helps, gets a bad rap.
You found that because you look
underrated.
At the good side of the moon.
That's right. El Glico, he tweeted a screen cap of the MAGA bomber van, and he said, this van looks like what Steve Bannon would turn into if he was a Transformer. By the way, Fox News was blurring out all the pictures on the side of the van so that it wouldn't be clear to their viewers that it was all like stories from their shit. Alyssa Limperis retweeted Henry Winkler. So she tweeted, me, I hate that person. I'm finally going to tell them off. That person. Hi, me. And then she retweeted Henry Winkler, who tweeted, I hope you are so fine and will have a glorious weekend. just a weird old famous guy tweet that is also totally how I get mad at people. And I'll go out on that. I'll share some of the other ones with you.
I just spent this entire segment while you two were talking, scrolling my feed, looking for a tweet that was worthy of me sharing on the segment. Unfortunately, I just find this to be an incredibly depressing sight.
All right, I'll give you one. At Nobody Stop Me on Twitter tweeted, on mushrooms ripping my Halloween costume apart.
right, yeah, I'll take that.
All right. Yeah.
There you
I'll
go.
Take that one on board.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes. Miles,
yeah.
What song are we going to ride out on today?
We are going to go out on another track from Skin Shape, which was a band we went out on like a couple weeks ago, a track called Detroit. But this track now is called I Won't Be There. Again, it's nice to hear people play instruments, you know, and really rock them and really get to rumpin' and tumpin' on those things, because there's not enough rumpin' and a tumpin' these days.
Are you playing?
Here.
Are you
rumpin' and a tumpin'.
Are you playing the band Skin Shape because of my Batman costume?
No. Cool, cool. And this is their song called Deformed Ball Bag. And Skin Shape called I Won't Be There. Yeah, enjoy. Enjoy this little snippet. And if you like it, go support them.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.